Psalm 119. This is number 8 in this series, number 9, I'm sorry, in this series on how to simplify your life. And it's going to be a, I'm not sure, I'll probably have a couple more messages in the series, I'm not really sure. If the Lord says go 10 more, we'll go 10 more, but I don't anticipate that. He's going to have to give me some more revelation if he wants to do that. And he's good at that, by the way. Psalm 119, title of the message today is, Be an Influence on Others. Be an Influence on Others. So we have been talking about, in this series, making our lives less complicated. Lives sometimes get too complex. And things get too busy where God gets pushed right out because of the busyness. That's evident many, many times you in your life if suddenly you don't find yourself having time to pray and you don't have time to read the word and do the things that you should do, fellowship with the Lord, you're too busy. Is that a fair assumption? That you're too busy if those things suddenly are suffering. And you know, that really is a demand that the Lord puts on us, and especially starting a new year, that we get things in order and get things managed properly the way that we should. Psalm 119 is, and verse 130 has been our foundation in this series, and so we'll read it. If you have a Bible, I'm reading from the King James, so I'll read it out loud. You know, I wouldn't mind having everybody read, but we're liable to have a bunch of different versions. So, and we're not going to take the time to go around the room and have everybody with a different version read it. Just follow along. Psalm 119, verse 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Now, again, simple doesn't mean ignorant, not quite all there. It gives understanding to those that are uncomplicated and have taken time to uncomplicate their life. I will tell you, the devil will get involved and make you so busy you won't know which way to turn, and you'll find yourself sacrificing things in your life. One of the things that gets sacrificed quickly is Bible time. Amen. That's true. We don't want to admit that necessarily, but that's one of the things that suffers quickly. That, church attendance, prayer, witnessing to others. I don't have time to witness to people. I just don't have time. You know what? Every one of you is going to stand before the Lord and answer for what you do with your time. Now, in this series, we've talked about time management, remember? And we said that if you get closer to the light, you get closer to the Lord, time will begin to, just even in the natural, time begins to slow. The closer you get to the speed of light, time begins to warp and slow down. Remember, you can go back in the series and listen to it. We talked about it. And so we talked about managing our time. And this business of I don't have time is really, it's a lie. And the devil uses that all the time with people. All the time with people. I don't have time. Yes, you do. Time management, then we have been on money management over the last few weeks about what we're supposed to be doing with our money and how we're supposed to go before the Lord regarding all of that, and we talked about the importance of listening to him and doing what he instructs, and so we spent some time on that, on how to handle our money. So we've done time management, money management, and today we're going to kick over into relationship management. And this is one that's going to take forever. You know that because y'all are in. No. It won't take forever. If we take steps to better organize our lives, I wrote this down so I need to read it to you. If we take steps to better organize our lives, we'll be able to receive more from the Lord. We'll grow at a quicker pace and revelation will increase in us. But if we do not take those steps, we'll be unable to receive from the Lord because our lives are far too complicated. Every one of us need to become better managers of our lives Organize, manage, and simplify. They all go together. We've been talking about organizing our lives, managing our lives. People, I'm telling you, most people in the body of Christ are horrible managers regarding their own personal lives. They seem to be able to manage everyone else's lives. But theirs, they can't see the forest for the trees, for crying out loud. Everyone else's life is out of order but mine. Well, you know what? You'd be doing really fine just to look at your own life and don't be looking around at other people. And so don't be checking it out during the service of whose life is possibly out of order. Yours is if you're doing that. Well, that felt good. Amen. So be an influence on others. So we had been talking about this resource management of time, money, and now today relationships. Influence is defined as this: to affect or have an effect on one person or another. To persuade. Isn't that interesting? The scripture speaks about us persuading people, and you'll find that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 11. Just make a note of it. That it's basically saying we know what's coming. Judgment's coming. Every one of us are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ as believers now. Judgment is coming. You're going to answer for what you've done with your time, what you've done with your money, and what you've done regarding relationships. You're going to answer for every one of those things. And again, I'm not going to be able to stand there and go, oh, but she meant to do this. She meant, he meant this. He, you know, the Lord will say, you, go sit down. Talking to me. So I'm not about to step in there. Yeah, but you're the pastor. You're supposed to. No, 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 no. You're going to answer for yourselves. So get ready. Get ready, get ready, get ready. You will have to answer for yourself. And the things that you did that are works of wood, hay, and stubble, and you did it with selfish interests involved, and you didn't do what you were doing before the Lord as purely before the Lord. You did it so somebody would look at you, or you did it so that you would have an advantage over here, or this, that, or the other. All that will be judged. If it's wood, hay, and stubble, it'll be burned up. If it's gold, silver, or precious stones, it'll stand the test of time, and you'll receive a crown or a reward for that. But that's determined by the heart of every person, and that's individual. Every one of you, every one of us will stand before the Lord on that day. Amen. Amen. Don't tell me you'll see me at the great white throne judgment, brother. See you later. See you at the great white throne. No, that's for people that don't know the Lord. You and I are going to witness that, and it's not going to be a pleasant time. God's not looking forward to that where he can finally smash them all and send them all to hell. That's not going to be a pleasant time for the Lord to have to say, depart from me, I never knew you. You had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. And you know what? To a certain extent, in our Christianity, as believers, that applies too. You've had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to hear the word, to pray the word, to have people, to have fellowship with you. You've had opportunity after, yeah, but you know, I just don't complain to me. Don't complain to others. Don't complain to the Lord. You've had opportunity. So it'd be to your best interest to take advantage of the opportunities that are before you. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Just thought I'd throw that in there. It's for all of us. Amen? So, why should we manage our relationships? How do you mean manage a relationship? What are you talking about? What would be the reason that you would do that? What is the goal in that? Here's the reason why we need to manage our relationship or organize it in some respects, so that we can become as influential as possible in everyone's life who the Lord brings us into contact with. Do you realize that? It should be the goal of every Christian to have the greatest influence upon the people that you meet. I don't mean to try to manipulate them and use them, but to have a godly, Christ-like influence in their life. That should be our goal. Is it your goal today? I dare to say that there are most people in the body of Christ who do not approach life that way, that I'm going to be an influence in somebody else's life. They don't think of it that way. But you and I need to think of it that way. Every opportunity I have, I want to be an influence. Now, that doesn't mean that that necessarily means you preaching to them every time you see them. Do you hear me? You guys better wake up or I'll have you stand up and I will sit down.
Oh, yeah.
There's some weeks some of you need to stand up because you look like you're, you know.
I never had a preacher say that to me before.
Well, maybe he needed to, okay? Wake up. You come to church for an hour, 2 hours a week. You need to stay awake. Fight it. Tell the person next to you, pinch me hard. No, don't be touching each other. Amen. So people don't approach life this way. But really, in reality, this being as influential as you can in people's life is a paraphrase of the Great Commission. We need to influence the unbelievers to get saved. And we need to influence believers to get on with growing in the things of God. Quit playing church.
Amen.
Amen. But now, I'll tell you this, that it is not manipulation. Influence and evangelism are not the same thing. Influence, you influence somebody in the way that you conduct yourself before them to prepare them to receive the Lord. Your influence upon the sinners that you see throughout the week and do business with, different businesses and your people, you have an influence in their life by the way you conduct yourself. I have had influence in people's lives that I did not have the opportunity to lead them to the Lord. You know, we all are going about every day planting seeds. You're constantly, you ought to be sowing seeds of kindness. Don't think it's strange if people snap at you when all you ever do is snap at people. I'm doing business now. You don't leave Jesus out of business. You don't turn from in here, you know, speaking godly to going out there and cussing with four-letter words. My goodness sakes, man. What kind of witness is that? Everybody look at me and say, amen, Pastor Dan, we shouldn't cuss. Some of you just look down. I'm not even going to look at that. Man.
I don't think I should have to say that.
Well, maybe you should start confessing that your mouth is under control. You know what's even worse than using stupid four-letter words for sex and excrement and all this stuff that people do? Oh, blankety, blankety, blank. Come on, get a vocabulary, will you please? And if you're upset, it would be better for you to just than to start using words, you know. Watch what you say. Listen, take heed. Lord, put a watch over my mouth. I would say, if I have to balance the two out and say, okay, now wait a minute, using a four-letter word for sex and speaking death and unbelief over my life and over my family, you don't have to choose. You don't have to do either.
Amen.
Stop it. And I'll tell you another thing. While I'm on this soapbox, I ought to stand on this thing. Wouldn't that be a trick, huh? Yeah, I'm sure you would. Catch me, brother. Catch me. Your acquaintances and the people that you spend quality time with should be people of like precious faith. Now, that's not to mean that you're not around sinners. Some of you work with sinners. Right? Some of you are around people that don't know Jesus. And so they think differently and they talk differently. Please recognize that you are having an influence on them. And if when they tell a dirty joke, you start laughing, oh, that is so funny. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. And then suddenly your influence just went. Need to be very, very cautious who you hang out with and call your running buddies. And when you do, and you are around them, then be aware that you are to be giving a good influence into their life. Amen? So what's your motive in influencing somebody with a Christ-like example? Is it self-interest? Is it for a pat on the back? Is it so somebody will say, wow, he's a real strong Christian? No, it shouldn't be that. It ought to be so that the person will walk with the Lord and have a closer fellowship with God, either come to know Jesus, okay, in the dealings with sinners, or as a believer, that you're giving forth the influence in your life of just the way you conduct yourself. And how you conduct yourself when the pressure's on is one of the greatest revealers. When the pressure's on, you come busting apart and you get mad and start talking like everybody else out there. And you just were talking about Jesus. And out of the next side of your mouth, when a situation blew up in your face, you start acting like the world. I'm telling you, that's why so many people have not come into the things of God this day, because so many Christians are showing a two-faced witness. Godly one day and just like the world the next. Back and forth and back and forth. And you can't decipher and discern who's who. Well, everybody's doing it. I heard a thing, you know, there was a few posts on about a quarterback just recently won a big game and how strong of a believer. And so I thought, I'll just check out his witness, you know. He's given witness for Christ, and that's praise God for that. Then I came to find out that he bought a house with his girlfriend. They've been living together for how long? Now, you know, it'd be one thing if they're living together, but see, the scripture says avoid all appearance of evil, does it not? So someone said, well, who says they're having sex? You don't know that. There's a real strong possibility if you're living together and you're attracted to one another, that's what you're doing. So my question to this brother is, why don't you just marry her? Amen. Ah, everybody's doing it. Not everybody's doing that. Okay? Amen. So there's a real simple solution. You stand before me and I say, you want them, you got them. You want them? That's the old Indian ceremony.
Oh, hey, you want them, you got them.
There's no racism there. It's just you want them, you got them. You take it how you want it. So if you don't take an aggressive approach to influencing people, one of three things is going to happen. Write these down. And you ought to know this, but we'll write it down anyway. See, when you take notes, you don't fall asleep because you can't write with your eyes closed. You're not here to not retain. You're not here to have somebody tickle your ears. So stay with me here, okay? Don't let the devil tell you, you got to go to the bathroom right now. Well, I don't want you to wet your pants, but please, don't get up and just, that's checking out of the service. I don't need that, you know. Number one, if you don't take an aggressive approach to influencing people, one of these three things is going to happen. Number one, you won't influence anybody. Number two, write faster. The influence you exert will be ungodly. So, number one, you won't influence anybody if you're not aggressive in going after this, because you have to think about this. So, if you don't, you won't influence anybody. Number two, the influence that you do exert will be ungodly. One of three things is going to happen. And the third one, which is probably the worst, is you'll be the one who's being influenced. So number one, you won't influence anybody. Number two, the influence that you do put out will end up being ungodly because you're just blending in instead of standing out. Amen. You're just acting like they are. Amen. Or number three, worst of all, you'll be the one who's being influenced. And so you went from Mr. or Mrs. Miss Christian to now you're acting like the world because of who you're running with. Well, that's really foolish, man. I mean, that is like not smart. So, in that, okay, of those three things, you should, as a believer, want to have a godly influence upon people. Do you want to have a godly influence upon people, yes or no?
Yes.
Well, if you do, then you're going to have to aggressively go after this because the enemy will come in very seductively and say, you don't need to do that. You know, you start trying to have an influence in people's lives, you know exactly what you are, and you know exactly how weak you are, and you won't stay after it, and you're just no good, so shut your mouth, and don't you try to be an example. And you have to say, no, in the name of Jesus, get behind me. I'm not going to hear that. I am a born-again man, and I will live my Christianity before others, and I will say and do what the Lord tells me to say and do. In Jesus' name, amen? Amen? So as a church, you and I should want to influence people to live God's way all the time. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5. Austin, that light is surging, isn't it? Yeah, well, turn it down a little bit so maybe it'll stop. I mean, I keep thinking, I'm like, it's weird. I'm in a time warp. You get close to the Lord, he starts, yeah, thank you, Lord. Ephesians 5, look at verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Now, look at this. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this we know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for you were sometimes darkness. But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now, I just say that as I read that through last night. I was going through that, and I'm like, you know what? We're supposed to have influence, and we're not supposed to slide back into the things that we once did or once were. Now, I said to you before, 1 John 1:9 is for the Christian, and if you had sin in your life, you confess it before the Lord, and you receive your forgiveness, and you go on, right? Who in here has never sinned? Okay, Lakin, right there. Little baby. Baby. She's the only one. Yeah. But there will come a time where she'll say, no. I told you to go clean up your room. No. That's where the rod of correction comes in. Yes, we don't say no like that. And don't, you know, I mean, every one of us went through that. Remember the first time you said no? Say no. Because you don't. But you did. And so everybody has sin in their lives. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean babies have? No, babies are not born into sin. Babies do not need to be, you know, some people think in some churches and when I grew up, and if you have to baptize that infant because if they die, they'll go to hell for eternity. No, they won't. Where there's no understanding or recognition of sin, they can't sin. Once they reach that age, and people always call it the age of accountability, where they start to recognize right from wrong. At that point then, when they can make a conscious decision to serve the Lord or not serve him. All right, but a baby goes on, they go instantly into the presence of the Lord. So, you know, but for us, for people that are of the age of recognition and we know, well then, hey, everybody has sinned and there's an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And if as a born-again man or woman you've sinned, then you say, Father, forgive me. 1 John 1:9 is very important to stay in that fellowship with the Lord, because you can step out of fellowship with him in a heartbeat. You decide to start going after things of the world, things of the enemy, and now you're not in fellowship with God. You're still saved, but you're not in fellowship with God. So you say, Father, forgive me of that. I need to get back on track with you. Amen. But as a church, I said, we want to influence people to live God's way. This portion of scripture here is just speaking about the things that people do. We're not supposed to have fellowship with that. We shouldn't want to influence and allow ourselves to be influenced to go opposite of the things of God. So you can't hang out with people. I'll say this to you young people, you all young people. Yes, here it comes. You need to watch who you hang out with. It's just business, Pastor Dan. I understand that. But still, let your influence carry. We have Christian businessmen and women in here who carry themselves as the Christians that they are. And that doesn't mean you're witnessing to every person that you come across in your business. But you show a godly attitude and a godly lifestyle, and people will pick up on that, and you're having a greater influence than you even know. Okay? 99% of the time, God uses people to meet your needs. Is that right? Amen. If you don't manage the way that you are influencing people, the quality of your own life is going to suffer. If you're not managing the way you influence people and you're not going after it aggressively like I just talked about, you need to think about this. You need to think about this from this point on, that every day of your life you need to recognize, I'm having an influence. It's not just the pastor or the business owner or whoever that is having an influence. Every one of us have influence. And he's calling every one of us to use that influence in a godly way to point people to Jesus. You start acting like they act, you're not going to win them. I'll buddy up to them. Next thing you know, the person's sitting at the bar with the one and going to places they shouldn't go with it because we're friends and I can't act like I'm different. Oh, excuse me, but you are. And it's high time we be who we are. Amen. Three areas of relationships that we're going to look at in this series and this portion on relationships. Number one, in relationships where you are submitted to another's authority, okay, that would be like your boss or somebody else that has authority over your life, your children, to your parents. Number two, where somebody's submitted to your authority. Your employees, the way you respond and act towards your children would not be the way that you act toward your boss, right? I mean, you don't cross those things over. You need to keep it all straight. And number three would be where somebody who is your peer, maybe a friend, an acquaintance. These are the areas of relationship. You can sum it up with people we have authority over, people we don't, people that are under our authority. Okay, where we are under somebody's authority, somebody's under our authority, or friends or peers. Those are the three areas. And the primary tool that you and I have to manage all of these, it's something that the Bible says never fails. Who knows what that is? Love never fails. If you're going to manage your relationships with people properly and keep that influence in a godly way that you should have it, I mean, love is going to have to be in the center of that. I'll tell you, the most effective tool that you'll ever have is love. Love is always, when it's in a relationship, it always increases the influence that you have in somebody's life. If you walk in love toward people, you will have a greater influence than if you're always chewing on them about something. So that's why we as parents, the Bible tells dads not to nag their kids. Right? We got a few dads that said, right, yep, it does. Jerry, am I right? It's right. Oh, Jerry, I'm sorry. I was talking to that Jerry. J-E-R-E, am I right? Amen. So, yeah, I say, David, am I right? And the David start popping around the room. Yeah. But boy, we only have one Kendall. Right, Kendall? That's right. But walking in love always increases your influence in somebody's life. Love will never fail. But how does your faith work? Your faith always works by love, too. So if it's all going to work, you got to have love in the middle of your existence. Amen. Let's go over and just make a note of this In 2 Corinthians 3, I guess go over there right quick. 2 Corinthians 3, you and I are to be these epistles. Read. What's an epistle? Epistle's the opposite of an apostle, Pastor Dan. No, an epistle is a letter. These are the epistles that Paul wrote, letters to the churches. You and I should be epistles read of people. People ought to be able to read you by the influence that you exert upon their lives whenever you're around them, that there's no doubt about it, that is a good man or that is a good woman. Now, as I said before, it doesn't mean that you're always hitting them up about getting saved. That moment in time will come, but your influence needs to be one of love and not ramrodding it down their throats. Have you ever tried to make somebody eat something that they didn't want to eat? You ever try to force feed a child? We won't even go there with the green bean incident. Mom, did you ever have a problem getting me to eat? What'd you say?
Never,
she says. What about John? Yes, she says. John was just more particular, that's all. Were you more particular? You knew what you wanted. And all he wanted was peanut butter and something, you know? You are going to eat this. It's good for you. Not going to do it. Boy, John, you passed up so many good meals, man, for stinking peanut butter. Are you kidding? And then it came down to the point where if you're not eating this, you're not going to eat. Well, he was stubborn and sneaky because he'd get down there and get the peanut butter somehow, you know. 2 Corinthians 3, look at verse number 1. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. So the people that Paul was ministering to, and in fact the church here, was the epistle. Not talking about the physical letter here. He's talking about the word that was written in their hearts that he had sown into their life. And because they were walking it, he said, you're supposed to be these. This is what you're supposed to be. An epistle read of all. People ought to know. It shouldn't be a big surprise that you're a Christian. You know, if they see you acting like the world and then one day they see you at church, hallelujah, and they'll say, what happened? Well, I've been a believer for 25 years. The dickens, you say. You? You're a hellraiser. You know we're supposed to be hellraisers? R-A-Z-O-R or E-R. O-R? R-A-Z-E, to raise hell means to rip it up. And I don't mean in an ungodly way. I mean attack the enemy in every way that you can. The world calls it raising hell would be R-A-I-S-I-N-G. And that means lifting hell up. You don't lift hell up. You stomp it under your feet. Amen? Amen. The world always has a counterfeit for what, you know, we're supposed to be doing. For as much as you are manifestly declared, verse 3, to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, it's not this letter he's talking about, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of your heart. So the word is in you. Walk it before people. Let that influence that the word has had in your life be an influence in their life without ramming it down their throat. Trust me, at some point they'll say, what is it about you that's so patient with people? Why, when you could have told that one just, you know, where to jump off, you didn't? Why did you act so nice under all that pressure? I would have been screaming and cussing and blah, blah, blah. And you say, well, let me tell you why. Because I used to act just like you. There comes a time then you'll be able to minister to them. But if you try that too soon, the wall will go up and you may never have another chance. Somebody else will have to reach them. So be smart in your influence.
2 Corinthians 5, verse 20, write this down. We're not going there. We're just right next door, but we're not going to go over there and look. But it's, you and I are to be ambassadors carrying authority, influence, and a message of hope. Ambassadors have influence. You are to be influential upon others that you meet throughout your days. I'm going to close with this. In Titus 1, verse 9, the scripture speaks about us being able, and ministers in particular, being able to, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Go ahead, stand to your feet. In our lives, we may have opportunities to persuade people and convince them. Do you know what a gainsayer is? Most of you do know, but the word, it's really easy to remember the word. It's anti-lego, or spelled anti-lego. If you've ever stepped on one with a bare foot, you are anti-lego. Amen. But anti-lego means one who speaks against or one who contradicts. You're going to encounter people like that, and the Lord wants you to have the wisdom, the wherewithal, the knowledge in order to persuade even those that want to contradict you all the time. So you have to be patient in that. You need to be patient in dealing with people like that. But the Lord will give you that. You're going to be an influencer whether you like it or not. And you're either going to influence good or you're going to influence them to do and act like the world. Or you just avoid people altogether and have no influence, and that's not good. But in your quietness and staying away from people, you're actually doing more harm than you are good. And it's not good for you. And I'll tell you why it's not good for you. Because God uses people. And if you're not around people and you have some friends and some acquaintances, and God, who is the Lord going to use? Well, I guess he could just send anybody. I guess he could talk to me out of a cloud. Just a cloud comes down and hovers over me and he starts talking to me.
You need encouragement. Here's your encouragement, Tom Moulton.
No, how's he going to encourage Tom? He's going to say, hey, Nolan, you know, John, somebody, go and tell him this. God uses people. Is the Lord going to drop a bag of money on your head? You hope so. It would be a... You see him slowly going into the ground. Yeah, I hope it's paper, but enough paper, it would still hurt. He's not going to just drop it on your head. He's going to say, hey, brother, or son. He's not going to call, you know, but you are, you know. Jesus said, these are my brethren. I want you to go give Forrest $100. He uses people.
Amen.
He uses people, and if you are alienating yourself from people, you directly... it has a negative effect in your life because of your lack of aggressively dealing with folks in your life. You get that? You need to aggressively realize that you have influence and be an influencer of others. The Lord's going to use it. Now, don't do it. So if I'm really sweet to these people and I show a lot of influence, they'll come up and give me stuff. That's selfish. It never works. That's sin. Your motive has to be so that they develop in the things of Christ or come to Christ. Amen? All right, bow your head with me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you today in Jesus' name for your love and your goodness and your kindness. And, sir, we just give you all the glory and thanksgiving. And we thank you, sir, that you are the God of mercy. And you are the God of compassion. And, Lord, we know that there will come a time when we'll stand before you and the Lamb's Book of Life will be opened up and you're going to look and see if our names are found therein. And if they are, you say, enter into my glory. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. But for those whose names are not written there, you're going to say, depart, I never knew you, and be cast into everlasting darkness and hellfire. Father, I pray this day in Jesus' name that we would continue to have godly influence in people's lives and recognize the fact that Lord God, it's a vital, vital thing that we show Christ to all that we come in contact with. In the name of Jesus. Come on, in the name of Jesus. You want godly relationships? You don't act like an ungodly person and think you're going to attract godly people. I get this all the time. People say, I can't understand. Seems like I just attract idiots. Well, I mean, what do you say to that? You know, like, I just seem to attract losers. Well, show Christ. Amen. Show Christ in your life. I mean, if you're trying to attract a godly mate one day. I'll just not look at anybody because there's singles in here that are, you know, and all. And if you want a godly mate and praise and worship is going along and that person the Lord has for you that he wants you to be married to and that marriage is going to last forever and that person walks in that day, whether it be male or female, however it would apply, and they're looking for a godly person and they see you and then during praise and worship, everybody's worshiping God, and, you know, and there's some that are standing still and all that, but worshiping God, and they look over, and you're like picking your lip, looking at your shoes, fixing your hair, looking around when you should be praising God. I'll tell you right now what I would do if I were that guy and I saw that girl, even though she's pretty, I'd say, check that one off. She's not even served. She's not even interested in the things of God enough to worship God. You think I want to saddle myself to that? Oh, but she's beautiful. Tell you something. There's some really pretty, nasty people out there. You don't attract the winner? Do what winners do. Live it. Live it before people, you're an influencer. You're even an influencer in this church body. Did you know that? Amen. People watch you start to thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I didn't mean if you wanted to sit that you needed to get up because you're influencing people to want to sit. I start talking this time. Oh, yeah. Some of you, it's better for you to sit, and I understand that. Come on, let's bow our heads and go before the Lord in this. But before we do that, let's just renew, every one of us, our commitment to serve Christ right now. Bow your head with me, and let's pray. Father, I thank you and praise you today in Jesus' name for my brothers and sisters here. And Lord, as we make this confession of faith together, I thank you, sir, that you honor it. And Lord, I thank you for each of us drawing closer to you and getting stronger in this year 2020 than we've ever been in our lives, spiritually speaking. In Jesus' name, pray this with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I accept you as my Lord, as my Savior, and as my soon coming King. I believe in you. I believe that you were raised up from the dead. Jesus, come in my heart. Live there. I receive you right now in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. And I'm saved. And I know it. Amen. Amen.